the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day. Well, the big cat, Sir Clive Hubert Lloyd, very much in the news, making a plea, saying, please, 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 from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Lahore in Pakistan, this two-tier system is going to really devastate West Indies cricket if it comes about. And from what I've been hearing, the big guns like England and India and South Africa and New Zealand, they want to make it happen. And of course, that's the big, big story in the cricketing world. The cricket tongues are wagging. And can you imagine the West Indies playing only against Zimbabwe and Ireland? Oh my golly. Wow. When you consider that we did so very well, I mean, there was a time between 1980 and 1995, we didn't even lose a test series. People traveled from there and from far to see West Indies cricket. I remember prime ministers, P.J. Patterson having a private jet to come to Barbados, the Bermudans would have come to Barbados, all over the Caribbean to see the West Indies play. And nowadays, we're not doing as well as we should. And the question has to be asked in relation to balance, is there a lot of emotion in what we're saying? You say the truth is not always popular, but truth is always right. That is a discussion on Mason and Guest tonight. Of course, we're going to be talking about that. We also want to have a report card. Miles Bascom, who is the director of cricket, has already joined us. Dr. Kishore Shallow, the president, is going to be with us as well. And we also have some certain questions for the Secretary of WIPA, Wayne Lewis, who is now at Sabina Park. They're preparing for the regional tournament, which starts at the end of the month. You're going to get a chance to call. We also want to get some reaction from some journalists across the Caribbean. But without any further ado, let me say Happy New Year to all my good friends. Of course, Phil O'Wallace, who I understand is coming home very, very soon to pick up a big job in Barbados. Phil, I was told that. Basil Butcher Jr. told me that. Of course, Dr. Ford will give you the necessary advice. It's always a pleasure to have Dr. Ford on the show. And of course, Miles Bascom, the man from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Your elections are due sometime this year. I don't think you're going to be a candidate, but you certainly your president will be in Leeward's. Is it? Well, what's it? Leeward something. I don't remember. But I did, in fact, go to the constituency while I was there in St. Vincent a couple weeks ago. All right, so what are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen? Of course, we're going to call it a bit later on. Of course, we're going to look at the whole question of trying to get as many questions into to Miles Bascom as possible. Miles, a very good evening to you. How are you, my friend? How was Christmas? Was it good, Miles, first of all?
Good evening, Andrew, and Happy New Year to you and to your guests and to your listeners, of course. A lovely Christmas. I spent it at home, still in St. Vincent, just for a few more days before I head back to Antigua, you know, to get back to the business of cricket, yes.
Right. Well, without any further ado, let me get your reaction to the proposal to have a two-tier system. Tell us about that. I mean, what's your reaction, your immediate reaction?
Well, it's difficult to have a position on it without knowing, you know, the actual framework and the dynamics the financial framework that will go along with it, as well as if there is a relegation promotion system. I mean, there are still quite a lot of things that are not clear to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until I have that information, I would want to reserve my comments. I have seen the comments from Sir Clive, and I've also seen a reaction from Mikey Holden as well, falling on different sides of the aisle where that is concerned. But you know, I'm keen to see what the details are before I can mm-hmm. really form an opinion on it.
Is that something you support, though, the two-tiered system?
Well, it's difficult to say whether or not I support it. I would assume that the persons who are trying to implement such a system would have a rationale for doing so. Mm-hmm. And outside of the immediate I would say sting of the reality that West Indies would likely be in the second tier of such a system. I don't know whether there are actual merits to what is being proposed. And so it's difficult. It's really difficult to say whether or not I support it. If there is a possibility for promotion relegation, if it comes along with some sort of compensation for for pause that you might have had against these, you know, larger nations, and potentially if there's compensation for TV rights that you might lose out on, mm-hmm. you know, based on not having those teams tour as often or not having the extent of the series that we're accustomed to. Those are all variables that we have to understand, you know, what is being proposed before we know whether or not it's, you know, as I said, outside of the immediate sting of probably being relegated to the second tier.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, of course, we're going to get a reaction from the other members of the panel. We've also got Akeem Greenwood. We're going to certainly be asking questions in relation to you, Miles Bascom. But let's go to Dr. Ford and get a reaction, and then Basil, followed by Philo. Dr. Ford, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, Andrew, to the panel, and to the listeners. The thought of going from an equitable position, even though we may have less shorter series as it is right now, to one where our disability in terms of our positioning is in your face and mm-hmm. and quantified and put in black and white is hard for a nation that has been in world cricket for such a long time. I can't feel comfortable with that, even with compensation, even though that's not the big driver of this new suggestion. This new suggestion, as far as I know, doesn't right now include any financial remuneration, but I don't think that should really sway us in terms of not supporting this sort of a move to be relegated, as it were, without any chance of being promoted mm-hmm. in sight. I must be honest and say that, yes, we are functionally second-class citizens within world cricket. Our rankings, our player performance, our player development, our facilities, or every aspect of our cricket does say that. But I think that the ICC is moving in a position, instead of trying to grow cricket, they're trying to shrink it and condense it among a few. And it's such a mm-hmm. retrograde and backward method for administrators to try to curtail and to fence in a sport, that when you're trying to build it and send it all around the world. I think this is why soccer will always probably be bigger than cricket, and some of the other sports will do better, because it just can't be right. And I don't think any any West Indian who cares about our history and heritage could feel good about it. Yes, we do have to try to improve all aspects of our aim and status, but still, I don't see this move as being conducive or helpful to us regaining the lost stature that we had as foreign world champions. Because you have to understand, I mean, you have to think of it, suppose we had done that when we were champions up to the 90s, and it had remained that way, and we are now at the standard we are presently at, you know, I mean, you know, how would that work out? Things change. We are down now, but we can be up again. And I feel that if you are part of a group where you have equity, you should fight and try to maintain that in a world where equality is sought after and fought and died for.
Mm-hmm. Your reaction, Basil Butcher Jr.?
Good evening to everyone. Happy New Year to all the panelists, Philo, Miles, Doc, and yourself, Andrew, and all your listeners. In a way, I'm not surprised because we are in a de facto, as Doc said there, we're in a de facto second division, if you want to say it, along with several other teams, as you see going on right now, world cricket, particularly when it comes to test cricket. I think ICC has been very poor in trying to adjust the situation because of the elephant in the room, which is India. India demands that they get the lion's share of the revenue, right? Because of their large population, et cetera, et cetera. I am one of those who are vehemently against that. The only way you're going to help the nations that don't have the same market, the market space to compete, is to have equitable distribution of the resources that are derived from the ICC, as we do here in the United States in all the sports leagues. The TV contracts, irrespective of the teams, everybody gets an equal share. So hence you see sporting leagues here. You see more parity, more than when the season starts, so to speak. You have several teams that can have a fair chance to win the championship. But when you're going to be in a situation like India, whereas the big market teams here, when they have their bilateral deals with regional TV and so on and so forth, they would get more money than a smaller market. But if you don't equitably share the money, we're going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's saying to me, ICC just trying to, like, if this is indeed where we see it happening in front of our eyes, but if they're officially going to do this, they're not really interested in building the test game, as some of they spew that kind of stuff. We got to do this regarding test cricket. We got to help test cricket. But when you see these actions and hearing these murmurs, it doesn't seem like that at all. And then to top it off, West Indies' great legacy and cricket history to relegate us to obscurity would be a tremendous blow, as far as I'm concerned, to world cricket as a whole.
Interesting. Let's go to Philo Wallace, former West Indies cricketer, for his immediate reaction. Philo?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to Miles, Basil Butcher Jr., Dr. Ward. Akeem is also here with us. Obviously, I want to say Happy New Year to my friend Carlos in England as well. My friend Sherlock Hart, who I saw today for the first time in a long time, Boogie Bird and Heaven. It's good to be home, Andrew.
Oh.
To be honest, I'm not cool. But when you get this kind of news coming out of ICC, it is heart-wrenching. I was listening to Miles, you know, and I think that West Indies cricket has a lot of history. West Indies cricket has a lot of strengths, and the ICC needs to know about them. West Indies is one of the longest-sitting members on the ICC, and there must be value of West Indies cricket. There must be goodwill for West Indies cricket. In the early days, when nobody wanted to tour India and Pakistan, West Indies was the team who was going there often. So there have to be some repercussion for West Indies. Having a two-tier test system is not going to be equilibrium.
Mm.
It's going to be, well, you're off-balancing the whole scale. There's no justice in it. You're telling me that West Indies can play against Bangladesh and Afghanistan and Scotland. Where's the development? Mm. What is the resources that they're going to be giving West Indies to help fund this? I think that ICC needs a wake-up call. And somebody from CWI needs to return. You know, let them know the truth about West Indies cricket. I think that we have a part to play in our cricket. We just beat Australia in a pink ball test match early last year. That has to have value. And I mean, the people need to understand that West Indies have value. I mean, might not be played well, but I think that if we get the right people, I'm going to continue to say the OC is here. Because if we get the right people involved and get our players mentally and physically adapted cricket at the international level, I think that we're going to be very much on the front burner again. But we need to have serious discussions and serious changes have to be made in relation to our man management and get our players to understand that they have the value in their hands to bring West Indies cricket back to some halcyon days and some pride. I'm totally against it. I'm in Sir Clive Lloyd's corner with this. I don't think it is going to work. It cannot benefit us. And it certainly is not going to do anything for world cricket. Can't have big nations playing against big nations. You need to have that competitive edge. And if Australia, England, and India, Pakistan, and New Zealand are going to play, then what's going to happen to the rest? When will the others get to play against them only in World Cups?
Mm.
I think that ICC needs to have a look at this seriously. I know that the ICC meeting is slated for this year. And whoever represents West Indies at those meetings have to make sure that West Indies stand firm and sing at every mm-hmm. territorial board that represents CWI sings off the same hymn sheet to stop this from happening if it's possible, because we can't die like this. We have to fight and fight hard. And this is a wake-up call as well, Miles. We are now in Pakistan. We're finishing our 2024 Test Championship cycle. And this should be drilled home in those young men's heads in Pakistan. And despite what conditions they get in Pakistan, they have to play out of their skins to beat Pakistan in Pakistan. Because if we can beat Pakistan in Pakistan, and they're one of the top tier that going up in 2027, if it comes to fruition, we can say, well, we beat in Pakistan. So this is a good wake-up call. And get those guys down in Pakistan to let them understand the importance of that series to win at all costs. And that is my advice to CWI, Miles, and to West Indies cricketers in Pakistan. Beat Pakistan and let them see that we have what it takes to be in the top tier international cricket, test match cricket.
Right.
Beat Pakistan. That's all I have to say on this.
Okay, fine. Now, let's go to Akeem. We're going to do two things here, gentlemen. We're going to try and get as many questions to Miles Bascom as possible. Let's get your reaction, Akeem Green, noted journalist there from Ghana, and then you've got the opportunity to ask the first question to Miles Bascom. Akeem, how is good old Ghana?
Hi, good night. Ghana is good as ever.
Is it raining cats and dogs and pigs?
Actually, strange enough, this is one of the Christmases that rained hard. It hardly rained. So that's a good thing from a Ghana Harp Eagles perspective. So they get to do better preparation. But in terms of my views, I loved one of your opening statements about whether this issue is an emotional one for a lot of people. And we have looked past the reality of where we are currently in the world of cricket. But I think Miles would have practically summed it up. A lot of the things we may discuss here, Andrew, it's so much hypotheticals because we don't have enough information about what exactly are they trying to achieve. Because I think Mikey Holden as well, reading what he would have mentioned today, he sat on the other side, and if there is a two-tier system and if there's a promotion relegation, if the funds are also shared equally, there's potential value. If it's a system where there's also a food of thought, and even if there's a tier system and that you can play outside teams outside of your league, it's good value. Because I think for West Indies, I think we need to be frank about this. Apart from England and India, not much of the other nations bring great economical value when they come into the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, sadly enough, cricket has moved beyond that competitive stuff to a lot to do with dollars and cents. And I believe a lot of time decisions are not made with, I guess, history and cricket behind, but rather more about, you know, TV rights and about crowds, etc. So I think this initiative that the ICC is potentially trying to implement is obviously driven a lot to do with finances. But before you can give any definitive stance on whether it is a productive situation, it's something that should be zero tolerated in the Caribbean, I guess we need to get more information about what is the kind of setup within the system. Because there is a food of thought that if there's a promotion relegation system, and if you have noticed, Andrew, England are probably one of the stronger nations struggling in the Test Championship.
Yes.
They end up bottom of their top tier and relegated to the bottom tier. So does that mean the Ashes won't go ahead? Does that mean India wouldn't tour England, etc.? So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered about what are they trying to achieve and how, if they do this, the way they're looking to implement it. I think until we get all our, you know, all the facts in place, I think it's hard to give a really definitive stance on whether it's something good for cricket. But no doubt, it is heart-wrenching to see the fact that our cricket has reached this stage that we're prejudged to be basically in a second division, you know, tier two system when it comes to Test cricket.
Sad.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, Andrew, I'd like to say to Akeem and Miles, if they both accept that the financial sharing of revenue for cricket is the bugbear and inhibiting development, that this new idea isn't the most efficient way to solve cricket's biggest problem, along with scheduling and that sort of thing. That's just a comment I would make. I don't think they need to come up with two tiers just to find a way of financing lower level cricketing nations. It seems like a convoluted way to solve a problem that's staring us in the face.
Interesting. Akeem, first question to Miles. Of course, we want to let me tell you that Dr. Shallow is supposed to join us in the show a little bit later on. We also want to hear from Weeper. We haven't heard from them in quite a long time. And my good friend, Secretary Weeper, Wayne Lewis, is going to join us later on. But let's go to Akeem. First question to Miles Bascom, Director of Cricket at CWI.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued. I know at the last press conference there was a touch on the T20 tournament. I'm really intrigued as to if you have any more details about the format. At least locally, a lot of persons are really intrigued about it, whether it's going to be an under-23 tournament in itself, mm-hmm. also, or what's kind of the thought process from a CWI standpoint behind the structure of that tournament that is coming up, should be in May.
Miles?
Yes. More so the back end of April, yes. So the cry has been that, you know, since the Caribbean T20, there hasn't been, you know, really that platform for players, you know, emerging T20 players. So it's pretty much a case where you're either good enough to make it into a CPL franchise, in which case then you have to be good enough to consistently make it into the final 11 to be able to really play consistent T20 regionally. So the aim of this tournament is to target those players who are still emerging. They may have even played some CPL before, but probably not consistently enough to really develop a body of work, so to speak. And those players who are coming through, you know, beyond that 23. So we are still working out the actual parameters that will qualify players. But I can tell you at this point for sure, you know, players who have extensive international experience. I think we have discussed something around 10 to 20 internationals, less than 10, to be able to qualify. We have spoken about some age restrictions, but not as drastic as under 23, because we still don't want to infringe too much on that developmental space. So certainly if they are of that age and can make it, then fine. But we don't want to exclude players who are 27 or 28, especially given that a T20 World Cup is every 2 years. So it's a very short turnaround. So players have enough time, even at 26 or 27 or 28, that they can become viable to play in a World Cup and still be able to produce at that level.
Okay.
So we have some extensive discussions coming up on that, and definitely you will have some more detailed information in the next couple of weeks.
Akeem, does that satisfy you?
Yeah, it does. And I just wonder if I could stick in one quick more as regards to the 4-day. I know, as it stands, while the West Indies Academy is added to the 4-day setup, a team would only play seven matches maximum. Pre-COVID, it would have been 10 matches, basically playing home and away. Given at times our 4-day season ends so early, and you look at what happens in the back end where we host test matches at the back end year, but there's no way at World Cricket around at all. Miles, I just want to pick your mind as to how potentially soon can we see the 4-day setup, if it is going to go back to that way, where teams that are going to be playing, you know, home and away, so that probably this 7 matches would probably double, giving these guys a bit more of more match time in the region. Well, going back to the previous setup where you played 5 home, you know, and 5 away.
Okay, so it's one of the areas that we have discussed and debated and gone back and forth as to how much first-class cricket is. Well, not how much is enough. We know definitely that more is better. But how do we balance the cost of adding more rounds of first-class cricket against potential opportunities for example, for A-team cricket? So one of the things that we have recognized is that even when we have commendable first-class performances, that does not always translate into, you know, players being ready for international cricket. So we know that A-team space, you know, is very important to really test our players against, you know, international quality players from other nations. So what we are trying to do is ensure that we have enough first-class cricket so that we are able to select those players who are knocking at the door and get them opportunities in A teams. Ideally, we would like to have home and away fixtures for A teams. It is not always practical given the schedule. We definitely have a home series against South Africa that was deferred from last year. So that is usually the balance that we try to strike, ensuring that we have enough first-class cricket so that we can trust the quality of the performance over a season, and then we have, you know, those A-team opportunities. The academy will also have a bilateral series against other nations as well. And so we are looking for those opportunities where we can get that next batch of players just below the guys in the test team, those opportunities to play against quality opposition.
Akeem, you happy there?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Miles.
Okay, but you can come back in a little bit later on. No, just one thing, Miles, though, in terms of this regional T20, where will it be played? In one country?
Yes, so the intention is for us to try to make that tournament as close as possible to the highest standard possible, effectively. So we want it televised, you know, we want to have it broadcast, and as soon as you start to move countries, then the cost of the tournament rises exponentially, because it's not only the players that you have to transport, but also TV equipment and TV crew, etc. So we are looking to have it in one country. At this point, I think we are looking at Trinidad just because of the time that we have and the support that we are accustomed to getting out of Trinidad. But the plan is for that tournament to move around the region, you know, getting our players exposed to different conditions, as well as giving, you know, the public in each of the territories the opportunity to actually come out and see, you know, these aspiring international T20 players play their trade.
So you're confirming that the regional T20 will be played in Trinidad. Is that what you're confirming, Miles? I want to quote you.
Well, I can't confirm it as yet. I could tell you that is what we are thinking so far would be the easiest place to get it executed initially. Mm.
And it has to do, of course, remind me, costs. What about the pitches? The Trinidad pitches are not very good, you know?
The Trinidad, the Brian Lara pitch has been excellent.
Are you going to play all the matches at Brian Lara? What about the Queen's Park Oval?
Well, again, it's the same issue of moving around, transferring TV equipment, etc.
Okay.
It's far easier to set up shop in one location and have the tournament.
And tentative dates, again, I've got my pen here. Tentative dates. You said the back end of April. Tentative dates?
Yes. Let me see if I can give you something.
Take your time. Still, I know you lost your computer. I know you lost your computer a couple months ago. Did you ever find it back though, Miles?
Yes, thanks to Shamila Connell who helped.
She found it?
To track it down and rescue it and return it to me. Yes. So very grateful to her.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, she's good. She's an IT expert. Mm-hmm.
The tentative dates are 18th April to 11th.
May. Okay, April 18th to 11th May, and in Trinidad. Possibly in Trinidad. Yes. Okay. Akeem, I know you want to make some notes on this. Any reaction to anything he said about Trinidad and the tournament?
Well, I think it was expected that it probably Trinidad would have been a first choice venue for the initial year, given the time that is remaining. But you raise a valid point about the pitches we have seen in Trinidad. But I think what Miles is saying is that it's going to be just based at Brian Lara Cricket Academy, which is, you know, based on the upgrades for the World Cup, probably is in a really good shape to probably host this this tournament. But I think it's something that is this is what I wanted to clarify. About the kind of setup and the criteria that is going to be used to teams need to use to select players.
Right.
Because they can say there's a lot of intrigue locally, because a lot of players see this tournament as an opportunity, not just to look at breaking the CPL, but there's so many opportunities beyond CPL. And so they're very much intrigued about the kind of criteria that's going to be set up in place for this kind of tournament.
So somebody just sent a note here saying all players over 40 should not be playing the CPL, especially those players from overseas, because we do have some pretty old guys playing the CPL. All right, so we got that information out the way, April 18th to May the 11th, and in Trinidad, possibly, at the Brian Lara Stadium, is that correct? Only there? Just want to confirm that, Miles, before we go to Dr. Ford for a question or Basil. Only at Brian Lara?
Well, I can't confirm. I'm saying tentatively what the thinking is, that it's easier to base the tournament at one venue. And if indeed we do get to play in Trinidad, then it's likely to be Brian Lara.
Just before we go to Dr. Ford or Basil for a question, how many matches are you likely to play between May the 18th and, April 18th and May the 11th? How many matches do you like to play?
Well, the intention is for there to be six teams, and there will definitely be a full round robin before we get into the final round.
Okay, six teams, of course, you're talking. Tell me there, Basil, Barbados, Leewards, Windwards, Guyana, Jamaica. Which other team am I missing? CCC?
Windwards.
I'm just kidding.
You're missing Windwards.
I'm just kidding, man. Of course, I'm just kidding. All right, Basil, any questions for Miles Mascom?
Yes, I have two questions. But the first one, I didn't get to ask him the last time he was on.
Yes,
because it was a bunch of when you were away when Dr. Ford was doing a magnificent job.
I like that. you know, you want to get me fired.
my question is regarding the foundation of our,
right,
which is our club and school cricket, which we all know throughout the region is in dire shape. Our clubs are struggling, right, to survive. I could talk about Guyana, but as I speak to people from other parts of the region, I hear the same situation. And I feel like throughout the time of West Indies cricket, as we have slid down this ladder to where we are today, there have never been a focus on that foundation, which is where our cricketers come from. That's where our people get enthused about playing. That's where people get inculcated to the West Indies way and all of those things. Has been never been on the radar. And I would want to know if when would West Indies cricket as a collective, when I say West Indies cricket, it's CWI and all the territorial boards. When would they focus on that aspect of our cricket? Because it's in very much in disrepair.
Miles?
Yeah, it's a very, very good point. The reality is that when the club cricket was strong, it was strong on the back of, you know, community and volunteerism, you know, persons who are very passionate about the game, you know, putting in a lot of time to ensure that, you know, these clubs were organized and structured. I mean, there was a point, in fact, the common way for the clubs to make money would have been through subscriptions from players, et cetera, which I'm sure is a very foreign concept to youngsters these days. They expect, you know, that everything would be handed to them. So that has definitely been a part of what has led to the decline of the club system. We have never had a framework for Cricket West Indies to make interventions at those levels, club and school levels. So this would definitely have to be something new from our end. I know that some territorial boards, and probably less so in the Windwards and Leewards, because obviously the clubs are spread over multiple countries. But in Barbados, Jamaica, Guyana, for example, where they are a lot closer to their clubs, because the clubs make up their membership at that level in terms of the persons who vote. It's probably easier for the territorial boards to reach to the clubs and make interventions at that level. But I would not know where to start to tell them to make attempts to intervene at the club and school cricket level. I think it's something that has to be tackled both from the territorial board as well as, you know, the government and statutory institutions that, you know, have responsibility for sports, because, you know, those have wider reaching impacts as well, especially given our crime situation across the region, you know, engaging youngsters at those levels. I mean, there is a lot of opportunity there, I think, for government institutions to assist territorial boards.
But cannot CWI give a framework to the territorial boards as to how we can start to arrest the situation? Because I understand that, yes, CWI can't get into the grassroots in any territory. That's not your domain. But you can provide a framework in terms of a professionalism and so on and so forth, that these, because the territorial boards have just left to their devices. It seems they'll just continue running the program as it has been run 30, 40, 50 years ago. And this environment, it can't work in this environment. Like, oh, as you just said, the volunteerism and all the people that used to come around. That doesn't happen in today's Caribbean at all.
Miles, just before you answer the question, let's
pause. Yeah, I think there's
Miles, we got to pause for business calls because, of course, we got to try and make some money to make sure this program continues. Mason and Guest Broughton Association with our good friends at ESAFE went around the best shot of the day. ESAFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESAFE is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. All right, our very special guest is Miles Bascom, Director of Cricket. Of course, Miles Bascom has been in the job for not long, just about a year or so. We're going to have a report card from him. We also have some questions coming in. We're going to get back to you very, very soon in relation, of course, to the question you've got to answer from our good friend. But you can certainly send us your questions 2534679, and we already got some questions. Yes, you were responding to Mr. Butcher. Miles.
Yes, and yeah, it's not that I'm saying that while it's not immediately in our remit, that CWI doesn't have any intention of intervening at those levels. I mean, it's a big part of our strategic plan. In fact, it's one of our strategic pillars in terms of the development and participation levels. So we will definitely have to consult with the territorial boards. Again, you still have the issue of not being able to have one solution that will work across the board. And so we will have to engage the territorial boards individually to ensure that we offer them some sort of solution that is relevant to their, you know, to their own circumstances.
44.
Andrew, this on the 16 girls program that I heard in the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? How is the mechanic that going to work?
Very good question.
None of these territorial.
Very good question.
None of these territorial boys, they can't even get the little white queen, much yes. less the girls. So I want to understand how you're gonna this mechanics is gonna work on that issue.
Miles.
So what we've done is that we have basically set aside the funding. We've set aside $20,000 per territory for that under 16 girls program. And in the spirit of what I just said, because the dynamics are different across all territories, some territories already have some systems in place to get young ladies out. And some territories are pretty much starting from scratch. So we have outlined to them that, you know, what we are looking for is a program that is going to engage these young ladies, get them out, introduce them to the game, and start to identify, persons who have potential to develop their game. So that is what we want to get out. So those are the objectives that we give to the territorial boards, and they were then supposed to develop their proposals around that and submit to us. And once we were satisfied that that proposal met the objectives that we outlined, then we disperse the funds to the territories. In most cases, the programs are very exploratory, you know, trying to engage young ladies around that age in that under 16 age group and starting to introduce them to the game. And then, with some framework, which was one of the objectives that we give for identifying talent and then trying to channel them to more structured cricket.
Just before we bring in Dr. Ford, I know Akeem, you've got a certain question, but just one quick one here. In terms of Darren Sammy's appointment, I'm hearing, Miles, that one of the reasons why he's the head coach of both the white ball and the red ball is his ability to get some of the white ball players to play red ball cricket. Is there any truth in that? Is that really true, Miles? That's why you gave him the appointment? That's what Dr. Ford told me.
The main reason for Darren's appointment is that he has shown across the two formats for which he is currently responsible that he has been able to lay out a plan, chart a course for the team, and show progress in that direction. And I think that is what we are missing in our test team at the moment, that, you know, we haven't really found an identity. We can't clearly see, you know, a way forward, a plan to move forward. And certainly if the course that he charts includes getting some of the players coming across from playing white ball, playing test cricket, if he has the capacity to get that done, it is something that that we will welcome. As I said, we see cricketers, and while some guys may be pigeonholed as white ball players, we definitely recognize that, you know, they do have skill sets that could benefit us in test cricket.
Dr. Ford, any questions for Miles?
Hi, Miles. Recently, some youngsters went for the 2-week spin camp. I may have missed the review of how that went. Can you?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Tell us what happened there.
Yes.
By all reports, it was quite successful. It was good exposure for the young batsmen. So they would have gone to the Chennai Academy. They would have had a combination of some work in the nets and skill development, as well as some opportunity to play both red ball and white ball matches, to, you know, where they would have the opportunity to put into practice the things that they learned. And we are actually following up that initiative in a few days' time, where we have that coach coming back from India and partaking in a camp, a batting camp in Antigua, and that has obviously given us the opportunity to invite, you know, a few other batsmen who, you know, who didn't have the opportunity to make it to India. So that coach will come, and he will build upon what he did in India with the seven guys that went there, and he will also have the opportunity to work with a few other promising players who didn't make that initial cohort to go to India.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to you earlier regarding the CWI upcoming tournament, and my take on it is that CWI is hamstrung by finances, which precludes us to go back to a format where players got to experience different conditions and also got the requisite number of games. And in order for us to choose players which would then flourish at the A-team level and further. But to that end, seeing we just can't play enough games, we just can't have them in different places. Don't you think maybe it might be good for players who are on the fringes, let's say a McKenzie or a Wickham or someone even who went on this 2-week course and did stuff with spin, aren't any of them good enough to travel with a team and even train with a team if they're on the fringes, if they can't get enough cricket? Because we agree that the conditions and the exposure doesn't develop them. So you think maybe it might be necessary to do something else and seek funding for that initiative to give that extra exposure?
Yeah, certainly. Again, this batting camp in India was one initiative. For the women, we had the opportunity
talking about you know, trying to give them other opportunities. I know about the camps, but we're doing that, but we say it's not enough. I mean, other countries, you see a Jaiswal, you saw Australia with a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How do our younger players get a chance to push beyond what's there now? if they can't get to rub shoulders with the best cricketers who never come back to play the regional tournaments and get that exposure? Isn't there a need for another initiative outside of what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Yes, but we have been integrating younger players. I mean, young Jedi Blades played in the recent One Day series. Jewel Andrew was with the team in Sri Lanka. So we have been taking those opportunities where they have come along to integrate those younger players, even though we know that they may not quite be at that international ready stage. We do recognize that, you know, having them with the team, giving them the opportunity to see the mm-hmm. level at which the team prepares, that those things will help to move them along the pathway. So we are definitely open to every opportunity that we had. And so what I was saying was that the young ladies were placed with teams in Tasmania, in Australia. So if we have similar opportunities for our young male players, then definitely that is something that we will be looking at. So we are not limiting our initiatives to just camps. You know, we are looking for every opportunity to give them, you know, as wide mm-hmm. an education as possible. And just to mention that while we have not increased the number of matches in the West Indies Championship, we are going back to a home and away situation. So teams will move around and get the opportunity to play in different conditions around the region. We are introducing day-night fixtures. So there will be day-night fixtures in the West Indies Championship as well. So players will have the opportunity mm-hmm. to play under the lights in pink ball. And, you know, the opportunities that would also allow for persons to come and look at cricket, you know, after the end of their workday. We are also going to introduce the Kookaburra ball.
Oh.
Because as you know, most of world cricket is played with, you know, with either Dukes or Kookaburra. And while we are very familiar with our Dukes ball and it does well for us in our conditions, we found that in conditions where we have to go and play and use the Kookaburra ball, you know, there is a bit of a learning curve there as well. So we are trying to do as much as we can, you know, within the parameters that we are working with to ensure that our players have as wide an education as possible, as much experience as possible with different things, so that when they do get to the international level, mm-hmm. that, you know, they would hardly ever be seeing anything for the first time.
Well, we got Doc, just before you ask the next question, let's welcome Dr. Kishore Shallow, the president of Cricket West Indies, to our show. Yes, Doc.
Yeah, last question. Any update on what's happened with the 50 over tournament? There were some matters that concluded, yeah. So I was wondering.
Yes, if you could. Good question, Doc.
Mr. Butcher, I was just about to say that you know, I really appreciated when Dr. Ford led that program a few weeks ago. You know, he was very kind to me.
I like that. Wonderful. Good shot according to Ken Husbands.
As he did then, you know, he gave me an opportunity to warm up as he is doing now. But the Super 50, things are pretty much in the same position in terms of the outcome. There is no champion.
Mm.
The outstanding matter is that of the charge that was laid against Mr. Rifa. So the disciplinary committee, you know, has been convened, and they are currently just walking through mutually convenient dates. Some very busy people. So we are just trying to get a mutually convenient date for them to hear the matter relating to Mr. Rifa.
So there's a hearing then for Mr. Rifa, the disciplinary committee.
Yes.
I just want to confirm that.
There will be a hearing, yes.
And what about John Campbell? His case is done. I mean, he went into a plea bargaining, so he was thrown under the bus, apparently, by the Jamaica.
That matter is settled.
Yes. Well, of course, Wayne Lewis is going to join us a bit later on, because I'm just beginning to wonder about the representation or lack of, as far as Weeper is concerned. Just before we go to Philo, Roland Butcher, that you fired sometime last year, is saying, Andrew asked Miles why CW are not supporting my girls' program. Miles, that's for you. Roland Bush is listening. He wants to know why you're not supporting his girls. Is that true, Miles? You're not that kind of guy.
We support all cricket all across the West Indies. But I know Mr. Butcher's program is well looked after. You know, he has the benefit of some very well endowed benefactors.
Well said. Okay, let's pause our business, because when we come back, we're going to open the lines. Of course, I know Akimi's got one or two very important questions as well, and we're going to come back and certainly get Philo's questions to you, and of course to his very good friend Dr. Shallow, that would have put him on a committee some time ago and then I think released him. Mason and Guest Broughton Association, well, the good friends at ASF, we work around the best show of the day. Yes, if anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. All right, 7:11, time is flying. Philo Wallace, my good friend. You've got, of course, Miles Bascom, and you've also got President Dr. Kishore Shallow. It's over to you, Philo.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. That's what I say. Happy New Year to Dr. Shallow. I wish him all the very best going forward. He has a lot on his plate. ICC is looking to put us into tier two. I hope that Dr. Shallow have good representation when he goes to the ICC meetings. He has to have a strong back. I want to ask Miles, though, about we're changing. Why change the ball from the standard Duke's ball to the Kookaburra? Another question, Devin Thomas, what about his suspension? Is there any news on him? The importance of the young girls going on to Malaysia, what do you expect of those from those young ladies? Are we going to get some feedback on that trip is going?
Miles?
So those are three questions. I just try to
Yeah, Miles?
Okay. I usually forget to bring my notebook for Philo, because Philo keeps them firing pretty quickly.
I can repeat.
So I'll start with the last one, because yes, that is the easier one to remember. So the young ladies in Malaysia, the West Indies under 19 girls, we sent them over a bit before the support period, because obviously it's a long trip. And, you know, they have to recover, as well as, you know, it's a completely different setting from what they are accustomed to. So some acclimatization would be required as well. So they have a bit of a camp leading into that World Cup. They have had a couple of camps, you know, and they had a series against the USA. So they had pretty good preparation. They also went to England and competed in a tournament there. So, you know, we do expect good things from them. Coach Samuels, you know, has been putting in some good work with them. So I'm keen to see how they go over there. They don't have the easiest draw, but you know, that's how those tournaments are. But definitely we expect to see, you know, some good showings.
Right. Devin Thomas, what has become of his case, his suspension? What is the position on that?
Good question, Phil.
But I have not heard anything new relating to Devin Thomas. So as far as I'm aware, you know, that is running its course, as was decided. Yeah.
I see.
And then the other question was related to the balls, the Kookaburra and the Duke's ball. Mm-hmm. So it's not that way.
Because when I played the Duke's ball, used to stay longer because I had a bit more lacquer because of the conditions in the region. I know you said that they're going to have some pink ball games, which is not the first time it's going to be happening in four-day cricket, but it's going to be an experience because we've seen pink ball test matches coming on the horizon. Is it that you would just be using the Kookaburra pink ball, or you're going to try using Kookaburra and Jukes to see which one? Because you want to get the best for our players. I get it to try to understand conditions better with this pink ball.
Correct. So it's a case. It's not that we are moving away from our Duke's ball. We will continue to use our Duke's ball at home. But the challenge with using our Duke's ball across all of our tournaments is that as soon as you select a player who has only played regional cricket, and then you put him in conditions where, you know, they drop a red Kookaburra in his hands, he doesn't know what to expect necessarily from that ball. And many times that Kookaburra ball does not offer as much assistance, or if it does, it doesn't assist in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an opportunity to expose our players to that Kookaburra ball. So they will have some experience bowling with it. They'll start to get an understanding of what it does, and it will force them to actually, you know, think about it critically, because now, you know, you actually have to make a switch from one game to the next. It will only use it for a couple rounds. So by and large, we will play most of the first class season with the Duke's ball that we are accustomed to. But definitely that exposure, I think, is going to help our players and prepare them for playing, especially in the overseas conditions.
Philo, just hold your horses. Akeem has to go, right? He's got one fight. We'll come back to you, Philo. Akeem has to go. You know, he just got married recently, like Shamar Joseph. I understand he got married recently. Is that true, by the way, Akeem, that Shamar Joseph got married? And were you invited? I know that Brandon Corlett got an invitement, as we would say in the Caribbean. Is that true that Shamar got married recently?
Based on photo evidence, yeah, he would have recently did his nuptials. Yeah.
So you don't know?
But based on the photos you would have posted on the social media, it would 100% give you the impression that he got married over the New Year's period or so.
Well, I'm telling you, he got married. Brandon Corlett was invited, and he's got married to a sweetheart lady there that he's been with for quite a long time. We really want to congratulate him. Final question. I know you got to go off and do some daddy duties. You got a question for Miles Bascom.
Yeah, I just was curious about what's in store for Guyana from an international perspective. It's in terms of series, it's on the basis that in 2024, CWI would have done something that, in terms of when touring teams come to the Caribbean, they'd have carried them in conditions not necessarily favorable to their style of play. So I was curious, with Australia example coming, whether they would go to the traditional territories due to the tourism attraction, or they would look to go to probably territories where it mightn't be as pacey as such, and probably more, you know, spin friendly in the case of a Guyana, or whether Guyana has other international tours on the agenda for 2025. So we're just curious about from that angle.
Mm-hmm. Miles?
We are finalizing the schedule. What we are trying to do, based on the fact that we now have a complete FTP for men and women through 26 and early 27, we are trying to do a schedule that, you know, looks at it over this cycle of the men's FTP. So we are completing that process, and we'll pretty much be announcing these upcoming tours, the home series, pretty soon. So you will get that information quite shortly, but definitely we are going to continue to look at how we can leverage our conditions against the various oppositions, but still keeping in mind that, you know, we also have to ensure that we choose conditions that suit our strengths as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, you know, one of the challenges that you'll have, for example, against Australia, is that when you look at our pace attack, which has been doing most of the damage for us, you know, similarly, that will also.
Miles, just be careful with that word damage. Miles, be careful with that word damage.
Well,
don't use it loosely. Well,
in terms of percentage of wickets taken, our pace attack has been taking the majority of wickets. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, yes, I know you're a good student. I'm told, Akeem, that in addition to Australia, we're going to come at you, Philo, and I want perhaps before we get the first question into Dr. Shallow, I'm told that Pakistan will be playing 3 ODIs and 3 T20s in the Caribbean this year. Is that true, Miles? A little birdie told me that.
Yes, we do have a white ball series against Pakistan that consists of 3 ODIs and 3 T20s. Mm,
Philo, you didn't know that, Philo? Talk to you, Philo. You didn't know that, did you? Talk to me, Philo.
No, Andrew. But obviously the way how ICC is structuring the tours is that you no longer have these full tours. You have, like, we're in Pakistan, that's then they're going to come over in the white ball series. So it's a little difficult. I want to ask Miles, obviously, he spoke about those boys that went to the young men, sorry, who went to England.
Yeah.
I want to know if our head coach is going to be retooled to accommodate this added pressure that he's going to have now with red ball and white ball.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
And you thought about the structure that he has with T20 and white ball cricket. He's going to do it for the 4-day cricket. For the 5-day cricket. Are you just going to ignore Andres Kohli, what he has done, or he's going to be incorporated into our system? Because we can't ignore that we won against Australia. So he had to be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And what has become of Sean Tate, who was our red ball coach for a couple of tours? I know we don't hear anything about what he has done, and he's gone off.
Good, very, very good question. Very good question, Philo.
And they're putting in place for our fast bowlers.
Because
fast bowlers is important. We know we saw a man named bowling. He's consistent and he's strong. The structures are going to put in place for our fast bowlers.
Yeah.
Coming into this 4-day competition.
Miles, then we go to Dr. Shallow.
All right. So, we have to discuss with Darren exactly how we are going to ensure that he has all the support necessary to ensure that he is able to take the load of all 3 teams. Definitely, we will try our best to see how we can keep Andre Kohli in the picture. As you mentioned, he has done some very commendable work. And he is one of the best coaches that we have in the region, easily. So we definitely do not have the resources, you know, to disregard somebody of his caliber. There was another question there, Philo. Sorry.
Philo, what was the other question?
What programs? For fast bowlers.
Mm-hmm. Very good question.
Okay. Miles? So yeah, it's a really good question. Ideally what we were aiming to do is to have a full-time bowling coach who works outside of just tours, which is what you mentioned Sean Tate. Sean Tate was engaged pretty much on a tour by tour basis. And then once the tour was completed, we wouldn't see him until the next tour. So I had discussed with both coaches, that ideally the framework that we want to move to is to have somebody on a more full-time basis that works with the players while they're on tour, but is also available to them, and not just by long arm support, but available to them to work at the academy in Antigua, for example, or to come to their territory and spend some quality time with them. So that is something that we are going to continue to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are also trying to do is to upskill our franchise coaches. So we have a coaching symposium that is upcoming from January 13th to 15th. So it's a 3-day symposium where the franchise coach and assistant coach, they all come to Antigua. They will be there while the while the batting camp and the spin bowling camp are taking place in Antigua, so they will get to interact with those coaches as well. But they will also be working with our coaching development consultant, Mr. James Davidson, a New Zealander, who has set up a number of presentations for them from experts across the world. So one of the things that they will be paying particular attention to would be loading. So understanding how we get our fast bowlers ready to perform at their optimal, you know, in tournaments and in tours, you know, and you know, how we ensure that we don't overload them or we don't underload them, so that we can get the best out of them. So those are the kinds of things that we plan to do. Until we get to the point where we have a specialist fast bowling coach full time, then we will try to ensure that we expose our franchise coaches to best in class in terms of ensuring that they are able to impact the fast bowlers that they are charged with in their franchises.
All right. It's quite appropriate for us to say good evening to the president of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Kishore Shallow. Dr. Shallow, all the best to you. Happy New Year to you. First of all, your reaction to the proposed two-tier system. We heard from Miles Bascom. I'm sure that the entire world will want to hear from Dr. Shallow how he feels about that.
Doctor? Thanks, Andrew, to the panel. I don't think I've spoken to anyone for the year yet. So happy New Year all to you and your family, also to all your listeners. Andrew, you started the program on the same level of excitement that you ended 2024. We all look forward to, I'm sure I could speak on behalf of your listeners, your audience generally, that we look forward to a magnificent year with Mason Guest.
Yes, indeed.
Before I get to your question, though, let me just take the time. I don't know if you did this. I joined a few minutes late, but in 2024, we have had some really great performances from some of our players, and I think it's appropriate that we... I've seen a couple of our players even nominated, you know, with the ICC award. I think Rutherford Chaffin, Rutherford nominated for ODI Player of the Year, Shamar Joseph as Emerging Player of the Year. Also on the T20 circuit, we would have seen Haley Matthew as the leading run scorer in 2024. Nicholas Poran also the leading male score across the T20 circuit. And you have others performing well. Akil is up there as well as one of the leading performers in 2024. So I think it's necessary
absolutely
to recognize them and
absolutely
on his thing as Dari and on. So I just wanted to do that, Andrew. I think we are to, you know, recognize when our players do well. But with regards to the two-tier system, it's interesting. It's a sensitive issue. Based on my research that I've done, this matter has been on the table since about 2004, thereabout, when, you know, several individuals, you know, were looking at ways to keep Test cricket interested. I mean, that in itself shows how long people have been anticipating or considering Test cricket to be on the decline. You know, I don't know if it's time that we accept that Test cricket as it is still very exciting. If you even look at series, and one of the issues that I'm sure some people have with the two-tier approach or proposal, you know, and I quote proposal using it loosely because it hasn't been a proposal on the table since I've been a day. So I could state that it has not been on the agenda of ICC since I've been a director for nearly 2 years now.
Okay.
But when you look at, you know, Bangladesh West Indies series recently, I'm sure people would have enjoyed some excitement. In 2024, West Indies beat England, we beat Australia in very exciting games as well. So it is by means, I believe, that Test cricket is dying, right? Look at the recent Test match in Australia. I think it hit record numbers.
Right.
All right. However, one who believe that we always have to try to identify ways of improve, right? So it may not be a case of addressing a dying format, but looking at ways to make it even more exciting. And I've seen responses, a few, including our very own Sir Clive Lawyer and Michael Holden, right? And it's very interesting to just have the discussion and so on. What I would assure you, Andrew, and all listening, including the panel, of course, is that whatever decision I support at the ICC level must be in alignment with what is best for West Indies cricket and cricket by extension across the globe, right? That is the position I hold. I'm sure that if this matter were to reach ICC, it would be well ventilated. And, you know, all the facts and rationale for whatever position would come before us, and we'll make a decision then. But again, I repeat, rest assured that whatever decision I make in terms of support will be in the interest of cricket.
Do you fear that we may play in the second tier, though? Because, you know, the reality is that India and England, these are the big guns in world cricket. Do you fear that we may play against Afghanistan and Zimbabwe and Sri Lanka and Ireland, Dr. Shallow?
Yeah. Again, if you look at the conversations over the years about this particular two-tier model, right? We have had several positions and views. Right, some for, some against. I haven't seen enough. We haven't discussed it at length as to how it's going to work, right? Okay. Who's going to play who? You saw, I think Michael Holden put out a magnificent piece, right? Showing that in the event that we were to go with this model, the only possible way it could work, or how it could really work, right? That is an article I would suggest that, you know, anyone of keen interest in this matter would read. But it is still a matter that is, you know, I think needs a lot of answer, a lot of discussions, understanding of the potentials and so on, and the implications for countries, how we are going to support all the countries, whether in whatever group one, group two, or whatever it is called, if it is even practical at all, right? So it'd be premature of me to really say much more on that.
So you're saying it may not be practical? Is that what you're saying? It may not be practical? Is that what I'm hearing you saying?
I'm saying that I want to see more information. At this point, it has not been discussed at ICC since I've been a director.
All right. So, okay. Let's take a call. We're going to go to Dr. Ford. And of course, Basil has got some questions as well. We got also some calls coming in, 441-790. Let's take a quick call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Hi, 732. How are you?
Fine.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Yeah. I hear the discussion tonight about Virat Kohli.
Yes.
I'll tell the boy that talk about Kohli. Don't let that Kohli. Kohli had the worst year this year. Averaging 29. Now the best president got it. Keep off your back. The next thing I get not here now. Mr. Mason, what it is that everybody on from Real Marifa, the West Indies cricket is dead trouble. Instead of we look and get US cricket get back on its foot, we trying to deal with Real Marifa with a 50 over match, which we know about the money gone, and everybody hide up and everything. Mr. Mason, this thing is unfair to people. We want to hear what really going on with the 50 over match. Everything do to him, Mr. Reefer. Let the man get the money. Right? It is unfair for a man to play cricket and then he can say, but you can't get the money. And another thing, I understand the West Indies game soon go play against Ireland and Bangladesh and all them low countries.
You can remember.
Let's
talk about
you
that.
All the time. You know, they tell you all the whole time last year. Every West Indies don't want themselves in a lose their status.
Ooh.
And look what we come to know.
Oh dear.
The horse, Gary, the pen, so we got looking scramble now.
The horse is out the pen, and not the stable.
There's a saying. Hello?
That's an interesting one.
There's a youngster can't play test cricket. How do you know a youngster can't play test cricket when you ain't try? We on fair grills. We on fair become. And you're going to bring child and all in 34 and 36. I do get rid of them, man. Let me play some cricket, man. Let me know since I play cricket. Shana Paul made the first team at 19 years old.
Yes.
I went Shana Paul getting the yellow. When the frigate Shana Paul, when the calling in the room and said Shana Paul, we got one yellow play there and test cricket. That was an embarrassing thing, man. Any man here won, you're running my play cricket and that with that. I thank you very much.
Thanks for your contribution. Let's try and sneak two or three calls in before we go back to Dr. Shallow and, of course, the wonderful panel. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yeah, good night to the panel.
Now, good night to you, sir.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
I tell you, we need a batting, a fielding,
mm-hmm.
a bowling,
yes.
and a psychologist with the West Indies.
Batting.
A batting coach, a fielding coach.
Yes.
A bowling coach and a psychologist.
And a psychologist. Okay.
Yeah.
And a poet too? Forward. And a poet too?
Because the poet, if I was around, they would be doing well. Because I saw Dr. Forrest and his parents to score me highly.
Okay. Well, poet... Well, we want to thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And
I like a lot of humor, you know.
I know. Happy New Year to you. Let's take another call before we go back and talk to Dr. Shallow and Miles Bascom. Hello, welcome.
Good night,
Mason and guest. How are you? Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Mr. Mason, Happy New Year to you and you and everybody. Wish me all good health.
Yes.
Mr. Mason, you know what we got to try to get in the players' head. That they're trying to get the West Indies cricket back on top. Look, the players is who we got come pun. I mean, fellas said something yesterday. These fellas got to go there and fight.
Yes.
Don't care who they bring to beat, the player beat them. And you know, I can't understand how we can play cricket here. Maybe we want certain men. We gotta get the best to beat people. We can't pick these people to go and beat me. We gotta pick the best men to beat people. We can't get the best men playing all the time. So we can't beat the boy, Mr. Mason. We can't go there with bits and pieces. We gotta pick the best team. I know you pick your best team. You don't pick your. And who want Galong? Let it Galong. And because, let me tell you something. When they're done with Reed, they ain't gonna want them, you know. Them gonna realize that when the West Indies get demoted, them gonna get demoted too.
So call you feel that we are going to get be demoted? You feel so?
But Mr. Mason, the first thing we hear, you know that as we said, I did hear that the only boy the back of me was England and India when they want to kick away. And we players gotta get in the head that we gotta get we players. Look, we had some players that play cricket and can't play test cricket. We had four play test cricket. We had Chiefs play test cricket.
Right.
All the men play when we beat England. England. We remember when Richard and Wolf, them were on stand when we get beat. And I hear about God said, we bring a school team out there. Mm. And the school team, they want to beat England.
Mm-hmm.
And come down here, beat the long here too.
Mm-hmm.
And all them players gone off the radar.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. We got several calls backed up. We really want to. Time is very tight. Let's try and take one or two more before we go back quickly. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Mason.
Yeah. Hello.
Good evening to you, sir. You and your guest.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
I want to tell you, I like to think outside the box, you see?
Yes.
I want to tell you that if it's really going to happen and the West Indies are going to be demoted, it might be a blessing in disguise. Because what will happen, what I will see happening is that the West Indies can, with good coaching and good practice and everything, can beat the teams below them, Sri Lanka and all them, Bangladesh and all them teams. So the one, the top teams now will have to come back down, depending on if they're demoting one or two at a time. They will have to come back down. And that will give the opportunity to the West Indies to go up. And once they get up, they can stay up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to hear Shallow on this.
Yeah. Of course, we'll get a reaction from Dr. Shallow on it. Thanks for your contribution. One more before we go back to the panel. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest. 7:39 in the country. Hello, welcome.
Welcome. Good night. Happy New Year to the whole.
Happy New Year. Is this our caller from Canada?
Exactly. Listen to me, Mason. I want to say something very quickly, as quick as I can, because we are callers back to.
Sure.
No, we have a West Indies team We got coaches. Every time we win, we run with the coaches. It looked like we could only keep coaches when they're losing. Now, next thing, we got coaches. And we coaches can't see from number one to number six going over the all stumping. And we hire these men and paying them money. And everybody else could see none of the first six batsmen we got in over the all stumping. Next thing, the first six batsmen batted on leg stump against the spinners, brought it forward and get them bowled. And we got coaches paying coaches. Another thing. Now, everybody talking about what the ICC say. It is relevant, Mr. Mesa. Everybody know it's going to happen. The reason why. I hear Bass come and they come here tonight. And before they're honest with themselves and say, we did not pick the legends to take me forward. That is one of the reasons the ICC are coming straight up and telling you. But they're telling you diplomatic. Winner is not leading from the front, so we can do what we like. God bless. Have a great new year.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Miles, just before Dr. Ford comes in, Al-Zahri Joseph has an all-format contract. Why is he not in Pakistan? I need to know that, Miles. Why is Al-Zahri Joseph not in Pakistan?
We don't have contracts of different formats. We only have retainer contracts. They're all the same. And why he isn't in Pakistan? We did request some time off for this period to play in a league. But of course, we looked at what was likely. What the likely conditions would be in Pakistan. Of course, we know against India, against England, Pakistan employed a predominant spin approach. And that is likely to be the case again against us. So it's very likely that our fast bowlers will not be doing the bulk of the work for us. In Pakistan. So we did see an opportunity that we could give Al-Zahri that opportunity to go and play.
Where is he playing? Where is he playing?
If I recall, I think it's ILT20.
So he's playing ILT20, all-format contract, and you're telling me, Miles Bascom, that because you're using spinners and all that, you give him the time off? Oh, Miles, you're sharper than that. Come on. Not a missing guess. That's a weak answer. Very weak. I must admit. Very weak.
Andrew, one of the things that we have attempted to do, and I think to a great degree we have been able to achieve it, is striking a balance with our players, right? It is critical that we afford our players the opportunity to earn on the T20 circuit. I'm sure a fellow like Philo was playing the game. Would attest to that. It's a very short career.
Okay.
Right? And listen, the one individual for sure, if you have to pick one individual, one player, who you question in terms of commitment to cricket, is Al-Zahri Joseph. Al-Zahri plays across formats ever since he's been a 19-year-old. Right, and got picked in our teams. He has made himself available. Right. But it is a matter for us. And if we are not able to strike a balance with our players, chances are we are likely to lose them.
Okay.
Rather than have playing over an extended period.
All right. Doc, any reaction to that? I hope I wasn't too harsh, David Miles, saying he produced a weak answer.
Oh, I guess I already know how that situation will play out, so I will move on,
Leroy.
I am much more fascinated by President Shallow being our most recent ICC representative.
Sure.
Being aware of the tier system as a discussion and a proposal for so many years would recommend Michael Holding, who I suspect is less knowledgeable on it, as required reading on the possibilities of having a two-tier system and that being of interest. But you know, making a decision, what I mean is that it's been up for so long,
right?
And as our representative, I think we've had enough time to ventilate, and as an organization have some sort of more definitive stance on where we would be putting our support in such a thing, even if they were to have some alterations of the previous discussion. But be that as it may, if the decision is based on what's in the best interest of Cricket West Indies, and we do agree that financing is one of the things that is in our best interest, I would really like to know what are the other parameters succinctly that would help us, help him and the organization to make the decision regarding the tier system.
Very good question.
It must be fair. It must be a case of, let's say you propose the two-tier in terms of relegation promotion. It must be a case where the teams and the lower tier has that they have a very good opportunity to go up and stay in that category, right? So in terms of funding, is it going to be more equitable, right? Michael Holland suggested, you know, those in the eighth tier playing or traveling to the second tier so that they could continue to generate revenues and things from media rights and so on. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be that approach? You know, how long is is it going to be a 2-3 year cycle or 4 year cycle? How long is it? So there's so many questions that are yet to be answered, Dr. Ford, which is why I'm saying it would be premature of me to even, you know, attempt to arrive at a position.
Yeah, well, I was just saying that if there's a matter that's impending and it affects an organization, I think an organization has to know the parameters under which they want to operate and what they would support, meaning that suggestions from individuals outside that group, even though of interest and might have some merit, I think that Cricket West Indies itself should have looked at it already and have what they want to propose if that were to be considered.
Just to respond to that quickly, Doc, we at Cricket West Indies level, we haven't had that discussion either.
Well, I think you should have, because it's been up for discussion for so long.
Well, even since
an oversight.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I accept your opinion on it, but even since I've been on the board 2017 until now, I can't recall a discussion on a two-tier system. Even it was, the last time it was proposed was 2016, based on the documentation I've seen. And I've only seen that over the last 24 hours, right, after I check. It has not been discussed, which I could only assume that it didn't come up with whether Ricky Skerritt or Dave Cameron in 2016, right? So it hasn't come up since then. So there's no, but I'm sure that we will have a discussion in it. And discussion just to say, well, it's plain blank, we are not supporting it, we are willing to support it, and so on. And so I suspect we will have a discussion. But bear in mind, Dr. Ford, that this could easily be a rumor, right? And from my position, it has not been discussed. All I've seen is what you have seen in the media.
That's a big statement, right, Dr. Shallow. It could be a rumor.
No, well, all I've seen. Well, I, again,
fake news.
Based on what
that's I have a big done. Statement to make. That would make primetime sports tomorrow morning, Dr. Shallow.
Okay.
I'm going to pull it out and ask Paul Mears to bring that.
We have another 12 minutes where we could get some more breaking news. I won't be saying that one yet.
I mean, the only thing I'm saying is that I think an organization with such a vision and such a grasp of
yes.
their sport should really have discussed it at some stage. That was just the point I was trying to make, but I was a bit long-winded in that making that point. But you know, this two-tiered discussion, and knowing that we're a team without much bench strength, I mean, we've seen India bring on all these other players, we've seen Australia bring on a debutant who makes 90 odd in a test, a catch, two wickets, and but we don't have that bench strength. So the question is, how do we as a cricketing nation,
right,
ensure the availability of our best players, knowing that we are so weak and on the and being considered to be in that tier we don't want to be in, don't you think as an organization we have to really work harder at making our best players available more often?
And I think Miles and his team, they have really done well in terms of moving us in that direction. We have seen a bit more commitment from our players. Still some work to go. We would like to see more players offering themselves to play across all three formats. I think Darren Sammy's appointment, as alluded here in the program earlier, is one of those moves where we believe that he will be able to have some, you know, very frank discussion with some players and encourage them. It'll be one on the same environment across all formats. I'm sure that may help to advise a few players coming in. And, you know, it's continued discussion on trust, right? So being able to afford players like we just did with Azari, Shea Hope, and Rutherford in the previous, right? I mean, these things go a long way. And I think with that sort of trust from the players in the organization, knowing that we have the interest at heart, I'm sure we could probably see a few more coming forward and wanting to play across all formats.
What we're going to do, let's pause for business call. We've got some commercials backed up. Let's try to sneak as many questions in as possible. Interesting. All stories with Daniel Breton have been written, have proven to be true. The story is being followed by all major outlets. Tell Dr. Shallow to read Michael Atherton on Thursday. He will see the rumor. Very interesting comment coming as far as that is concerned. Dr. Shallow, you're going to get yourself in trouble with that comment. And I see many people are responding to that comment that you made. All right, Mason and guests, brought in association with the good friends at ASFE, where I run the best show of the day.
ASFE, the white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Miles, more reaction for your fellow Vincentian. Journalists with such reputations and professionalism won't put rumor on the table like that. He should be a bit more prudent. You're getting some lashes, Dr. Shell. How do you respond to that?
Andrew, unless it is a fuck, right? let me tell you, I've received threats of legal action from being on this program already.
I know that.
Last time I was on this program, I received a threat.
Really?
After. Yes. We could talk about it offline.
Oh my God.
Very careful.
By the way, Dr. Shallow, time is tight. Did you hear the voice note going around purported in relation to a good friend? But he said it is not true. Of course, we're talking about Calvin Hope. Did you hear that? Dr. Shallow?
I need to have a few attorneys. Philo, are you available to represent me?
What an interest. In fact, I spoke to him today. He said to me
if Philo says that he is available to represent me, I will answer you very frankly.
Well, it's a very
Dr. Shallow, you watch the third test match between Australia and fifth test match between Australia and India. You saw a man named Bowling, pulling some consistent events.
Stay here, Chris.
Let me answer you for my crease, Andrew.
Yes.
I mean, listen, and I like to be frank, and one of the reasons why people tend to listen to me and agree is because they know when I answer them, it is answered from a position of honesty, right? Now, generally, I tend to give the benefit of the doubt to people, right? But quite frankly, in this case, I find it difficult to do so.
Okay.
Right? And it's for obvious reason. You know, I know the gentleman in question. I'm very familiar with his personality. And the truth is, though AI is a magnificent tool with endless potential, I from my position, I'm yet to learn of of a tool that so perfectly imitates anyone. And but the jury's still out, Andrew.
The jury's still out. The jury's still out. Yes, you indeed.
What I would say though, in all seriousness,
yes,
is that, and everyone knows that I have the highest regards for Prime Minister the Honourable Mia Mottley, and she is the region's champion, and I say that with no regret.
Oh yes, indeed. Oh, of course, region. yes, the undisputed leader.
He's well loved and respected across the globe, especially in the Caribbean. I could tell you something from St. Vincent's perspective. She's well loved. And it is unfortunate anyone would even, whether it's fabricated or otherwise, would say those remarks against our original leader, someone with such great integrity and esteem. So, you know, I would be happy if someone could come forward and apologize to the Prime Minister. Right. For that. And I would just say it for now. But it certainly is not something I want to be associated with anyone in cricket. Certainly right. Not at Cricket West.
Very interesting comments. I actually spoke to Conde Riley. You know, here at Mason, and yes, we certainly do our stuff. We got another 4 minutes left in the show, and Conde was very economical in relation to his response. I got to be careful when I use that word, you know, because he got in some trouble. But he's
very careful. I think that was one of the reasons I was starting to get those chats.
Yeah, I know. Yes, and of course, Conde did in fact say to me that they may very well make a statement on it. It's something that needs to be dealt with. There's no question about that. And I'm sure that my good friend Calvin Hope knows that as well. Gentlemen, we've got 4 minutes left on the show. Let me come back to you, Miles, before I go. I know with interest that Rion Griffith has been fired and Nikita Miller's taken over. Can you explain? That's what Basil Butcher told me. You fired Rion Griffith and replaced him in Nikita Miller.
Oh, certainly not the case, Andre. I would hope that for the new year that you know, you keep the same standard of sourcing information
and no rumor. No rumor.
In good stead.
No rumor.
Exactly.
No rumor.
Another rumor.
That's another rumor. Yes. Yeah. But so what's the position though?
Griffith is very much still a part of the fray. Rian Griffith is still very much a part of the fray. He as well has an opportunity in a league tournament, and as we spoke about earlier, we expect that the bulk of the work will be done by spinners in Pakistan.
Okay.
And so Nikita Miller, who is one of the persons who have been leading in that area, you know, that is a very good opportunity for him to be there to support to support our spinners.
So Miller's there because he's a spinner. Is that what you're saying to me? Miller's taken over from Rion Griffith because he's a spinner. Is that what you're saying?
Rian Griffith has an opportunity in a league tournament, and it provided us with the opportunity to give Nikita Miller that opportunity to go and support our spinners.
Well, it's a pity that time has flown, because I certainly would have responded to what you just said just now. Dr. Shallow, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Miles Bascom, I understand, Dr. Shallow, that you're doing very well in the constituency. While I was there in St. Vincent, I went to the constituency and a poll was done and you're leading. I'm sure you know about that, don't you, Dr. Shallow? I heard that you're leading. Is that true?
Andrew, I look forward to a very productive
day. Wonderful. Always a pleasure to have you, Miles Bascom. It's good that you can come on Mason and guest. And thanks to you, Dr. Shallow. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, of course, who's smiling there at the end. Basil Butcher, who told me some stories about you that we'll talk about later on. Thanks, of course, to fellow Alfonso Wallace, who's home for the final time. I understand he's not going back to England. I'm Andrew Mason. He's hoping for a bye tomorrow. It's good night.
Right.